This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back, ladies and gents. We are back. We are talking about food. The reason we're talking about food is, one, we are hungry. Two, everybody's Malaysian and everybody loves food, of course. Mm-hmm. And we have a massive Malaysian food fight. The responses and the results will be out today and tomorrow. The finalists are...
The nasi lemak up against char kway teow for the final. And, of course, banana leaf is up against roti canai for the third place playoff. And also, just going back to that memory story, the girl is, you're right, Richard, Yanya Wintersol. She is a Mongolian-Swedish triple world record-holding memory athlete.
Yep.
So, yeah.
She's brilliant. Right. The question we're asking, of course, is if you could only take one Malaysian dish with you overseas, what would it be? Twitter has some answers with Arvin.
Yeah, so Michael Chang says, why does it have to be food? We've got some great drinks as well. Teh tarik, sedap bandung, soya cincau, teh halia, Milo, and tuak.
Okay.
Yeah, teh tarik, why not?
I'm going with that. No problem with that if you want drinks as well.
So we've got a lot of nasi lemak fans out there. They're all saying for nasi lemak. So, you know, good job. Go and vote. Billy Kidman on WhatsApp sent me a photo of the kuching kolok mee.
Oh,
I'm with you.
That's
on
a good choice.
Oh. East Malaysia food are good too. I totally agree. Kolok mee, Sarawak laksa. Mm. I love Sarawak food.
Here's one we haven't had yet. Pasar Malam kuih, because it's impossible to find anywhere else in the world. Mm-hmm. Sarawak laksa, of course, is another one. Bakute, of course. Roti canai, mutton varaval. Alvin's giving me the nod. Mamak mee goreng. Mm-hmm. I could just get pie tea, unique and rare even in Malaysia.
Yeah,
2224U is that it's
very
from.
Nice.
And then sploish. It says cendol. Can I get any more out of here? No, I think we're done about here. Hands down, nasi lemak is what I'm saying.
We've got more tweets. Yeah. So Henry says, cendol, nasi lemak says nasi lemak or rojak. Redza says it has to be nasi lemak. And Kualit says nasi goreng.
You know, the deep fried champara or nangka is also probably, I guess, you know, something that would be really good. Because it's just fruits, right? So like like pisang goreng, you know, it's just frying, deep frying fruits.
Pisang goreng, how has nobody said that yet?
Pisang goreng.
That you could do anywhere.
Yeah.
Do you remember that craze a year or two ago, pisang goreng with cheese?
It's still around.
It's still around. People still do that.
Sugar syrup and stuff. Yeah.
But pisang goreng,
good idea.
I love that.
We used to get that in the office, didn't we, every Friday?
We did.
What happened
in
to
the
that?
Old place?
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
We've
got to come in a bit earlier. You got to come in a little bit earlier before I take that away.
You got to come in a little bit earlier. Right. Final story of the day. Now, I read this morning, and I had to giggle a little bit, you know, because you remember a couple of years ago when the English were putting out a research vessel, a ship, and it was going to be going into the Antarctic, I believe, to do. And they put it out to the world to say, you know, maybe we need your help to help rename this very important research vessel. Because
that will be down in history books.
It will go down in history books for making great scientific discoveries. Please vote on what we should call this. And it ended up being called Boaty McBoatface.
Perfect.
I think it's a great name.
Instant classic.
Thank you, Internet. Thank you. And of course, they did a similar thing with a train, which became Trainy McTrainface.
Of course it did.
So, with that in mind, Amazon are rolling out a new program to let anybody provide answers to questions that Alexa is unable to answer. Mm. So Alexa Answers is meant to expand the digital assistant's knowledge base to keep it competitive with Google Assistant and Apple Siri. So for 2 years in a row, Google Assistant has easily won an 800-question test with Alexa coming in third place. Now, it's hard for Amazon to compete against Google, of course, because Google has years of information that they've collected and organized from their search engine. So this new system will use game mechanics to engage users. People will be able to earn points each time the assistant shares one of their answers. Mm. But as other platforms like Facebook, Google, and Reddit have discovered, user-generated content is often open to mischief and propaganda. It's easy to imagine the kind of answers somebody might submit for questions about Donald Trump or measles vaccines, for instance. Now, Amazon have said that it's relying on a combination of algorithms and human editors to help vet responses and hoping that a system of user up and down votes will weed out the mischief makers. Now, here's the thing, right? Amazon, perhaps one of the richest companies on the planet, have decided that they need your help to make their Alexa system better.
Mm.
But instead of paying you, mm-hmm. they're going to give you pretend internet game points.
Yeah. You remember what happened to Yahoo Answers?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Have you read the... Is Yahoo Answers even a thing? Like, is it still active?
I don't think it's still around anymore.
It's not really anymore, but because, you know, you've got other sites like Quora.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
yes.
really kind of taken up, you know, especially when you search for anything. It's always been Quora, right? Yahoo Answers is kind of like the second in line when it comes to... If you can't get an answer in Quora, then yeah.
Yeah, but after a while, after the initial stages where people were like fighting for points and would answer questions because they get the Yahoo points or whatever they called it, after a while, the answers made no sense. Like, you would ask people like, how do I get from point A to point B, and they'd give you
BlackBerry
like weird answers that made no sense and was to their own amusement, or they were laughing about it and stuff. So I don't know why Alexa
I see this
would open
being
up.
A bad thing.
Yeah. I don't know why you would open source your answers to
or maybe what they'll do is that in a very similar vein to what Wikipedia do, where you register as a user and then the answers are vetted by a team, perhaps, you know, something like that could work.
Yeah, because they it's not just going to be solely reliant on, you know, user input. There will still be an algorithm.
Yes,
there will
for sure.
still be artificial intelligence that will vet through. There are human editors that will still vet through. I'm keen to see what happens from this and, like, you know, how fast it will actually learn the things it doesn't know. Because as we all know, with all smart devices or artificial intelligent machines, it's all just based on our input.
Yeah.
So the more input we give, the faster it learns. Just look at Facebook, right? So much so that now, you know, it says that it doesn't actually need you to input anything. It can actually predict what you want, right? And even the random thoughts that you would have in your head, it would know as well, right?
It's funny you say that, actually, because last week when I bought the Google Home Mini, and I found myself asking it, using the keyword to start it, and then you would ask it to play you a song, and then it would feedback say, okay, I'm playing this song. It's now got to the point where I go, to switch it on, play me this song, and before I've even finished naming the end of the song, it's already playing it. And I'm like...
There you go. So I think it's what they're doing is the initial stage to get as much data as they can. And then from there, they're going to fine tune it. And then, you know, we're just going to be redundant and we'll be worshipping the AI overlords.
But then again, it's like, you know, they didn't want people listening in on your Alexa conversations and stuff. So now someone's going to have to filter all those answers. So that's another whole privacy issue.
Yeah. Okay, we've come to the end of the show.
Yeah, because we started off by asking you what would be the one Malaysian dish overseas that you would bring abroad, right? And I've just got a message from a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, Mohan, who says, how come we didn't mention chendol and why is chendol not in this food fight list? We have mentioned chendol at the start of the show. Please don't get angry. Also, in the Champions League food fight, it's because it's going to be tough if we're going to include desserts and all kinds of other stuff, drinks and stuff. So we decided to stick with the main dish. So apologies for that, Mohan. Chendol didn't make it into the first cut itself. Probably, you know, it's just got to climb up and be like the top four champions in the, you know, sort of the English Premier League. Like, Chendol's like the Man United then, like, you know, didn't make it, but everyone kind of love
likes
and hate it.
This is how you get yourself in trouble.
I know.
This is what happens. Stay away from the football.
All right, okay.
Let Ross deal with that.
It's two Malaysian things, football and food. So how do you separate one from the other?
Right, yeah.
There's one more tweet from Dilip who says, tapai pulut. So so he would wanna take that.
Definitely.
Right, we've got to wrap up, ladies and gents. We started off with that story, of course.
Yeah, we talked about the Bersatu for Makan campaign, and stay tuned because on the 16th of September, we will have the documentary. And also, we want to say thank you to our three entrepreneurs who basically run food restaurants outside of Malaysia. Basira Yusof, the owner of Agar Agar Restaurant in Seoul, Samantha Tan, the creator of Sam Tan's Kitchen in LA, and also Mandy In, the owner of Sambal Shop, a restaurant in London.
Then we spoke about how a Japanese cashier was arrested because he stole credit card information using his photographic memory.
And then we wrapped up, of course, with how Amazon will start letting random people provide Alexa with answers. That's all coming up. Sorry, that's all out of the show. If you've missed any part of this show, don't forget you can download the podcast from wherever you get it from. Coming up after the 1 o'clock news, the Breakfast Grill managed to speak with the CEO of the Sarawak Tourism Board. They have an ambitious agenda to promote Sarawak as the preferred destination in Borneo on the back of the launch of their Singapore office last month. All coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury. Have yourselves a lovely long weekend. This has been BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.